Hello, and welcome to the Green Tea Party, where we discuss conservative solutions to environmental problems. My name is Zach Torpy.
And I'm Katie Zakreski. Together, we'll guide you through complex issues and provide strategies to address them, all while remaining faithful to our conservative values.
Trust me, it'll be a good time.
Yeah, it's a party, so grab your mugs and we'll pour the tea. Hey everybody, this is Katie Zakreski with Green Tea Party Radio. I might have gotten a little bit overzealous when I started picking what news I wanted to talk about, and I think we got too many pieces here. Please ignore my screaming cat in the background. We might have gotten too many pieces here, so I want to split it up into two episodes so that I don't completely overwhelm you guys, and so that you have enough to talk about over the next couple of weeks. And some more good news related to other forms of climate. Tropical forest logging is on the decline. So the BBC reports that the number of trees lost in tropical forests in Brazil and Colombia fell dramatically by 39% because of political action. Unfortunately, a lot of global losses increased on the whole, mainly due to forest fires. But I'm going to focus on the fact that in two areas where it's been targeted for the longest, that it fell by nearly half in last year because people were doing political action that was meaningful. Take notes. People were able to make a difference in this very prominent area. So
this is the difference between literally electing someone who hates the environment and electing someone who's like, okay, we got to protect
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
Brazil electing going from Bolsonaro to Lula is just a world of difference for the Amazon.
I know. And this stat alone, I think, is a point exactly in that argument's favor. Is that a good call?
I feel like Bolsonaro would just like to go out in his free time with a flamethrower to the
Amazon. He definitely has thrown at least three car batteries into a body of water, I promise. definitely litters in his free time, no doubt in my mind. Puts empty cans on wildlife's heads in his free time. Like that diabolical levels of environmental disaster at any given time. So, yeah. See the difference that voting for a good person and other political action can make. So Hannah is going to be a big fan of this when she listens to this episode. Hannah's feeling a little under the weather, gang, but hopefully she'll be able to join us in the next episode. A lot of fashion show folks could be banned in France because of a new proposal to crack down on the polluting fashion industry.
No!
So France's parliament voted unanimously in favor of this bill, which would seek to impose penalties on low-cost clothing to cover its environmental impact. And that measure has moved on to the French Senate for further vote. So it seems like French Parliament has recognized that a lot of these low-cost fashion retailers are doing a heck of a lot of bad for the environment. Zach, what are your thoughts?
You should be punishing low-cost, low-quality clothes because so much of that just ends up back in the landfill so quickly, and so much of that ends up in third-world countries' landfills. Like, you see the mountains of clothes that are in Africa, of them trying to, like, sort and, like, recycle that, and it's just impossible.
Well, here's what gets me angry, Zach, and you've awakened a little neuron in my brain, because I see this happen quite a bit here in the South. It's a similar mentality of waste, I think. So many people are homeless because of the economy and the pandemic over the last few years, and all of the clothes that they have are the clothes that they're walking around in. And a lot of these fashion retailers would literally throw away clothes to a landfill than clothe the naked that live among us. And we see a lot of the same thing with food here in the South. Whenever a poultry plant closes down, instead of giving 3,000 chickens that are processed or even just live to low-income or middle-income families, you know what they do? They gas them and they bury them. So we would rather kill and absolutely deprive people of their human rights and their human comforts than not make a profit.
Yeah, it's just the way big business works sometimes. Can't give anything.
Yeah, can't give anything away. God forbid people be able to eat and have clothes. God forbid. Jesus is watching. He is watching. I don't got to worry if the powers that be seen it, if the Lord seen it. So hopefully a lot of other countries will follow in France's footsteps here, and I'm hoping that that resolution passes. In survival of the fittest news, a flock of finches, the same birds that were famously studied by Charles Darwin in his theory of evolution, have been reintroduced to an area of the Galapagos Islands. So, since 2023, experts have been working to eradicate introduced species, which have caused the disappearance of numerous native species, and this has paved the way for ecological restoration. So, a lot of these finches have returned. So, that's pretty awesome.
That's really cool. Wow.
Darwin is...
I always love to see species reintroduced, and I always love the rewildization of, like, certain areas, like, bringing species back. I think Colorado's introduced wolves recently.
Yeah!
I feel like it's good. Get them back to their natural.
I was about to say, they're supposed to be there anyway, so... That's what is crazy to me whenever people are like, oh my gosh, I saw a bear near my cabin. Well, what's your cabin doing there, dog? Like, you got all this development, and you're gonna complain that you saw nature out in nature in the house that you built in nature? What do you think was gonna happen, dude?
We're in their neighborhood. Mm-hmm.
If anything, he's on Facebook talking about you, dude. So, I did find this other piece of news, though. I don't know exactly what to think of this, but I threw it in here because I think it's worth talking about. This, and I'm just going to read it straight from this report, because I think they've worded it best. Wind power and heat pumps are obvious assets in the fight against fossil fuel climate change. But have you ever considered how well the two might work together? A new report from UK Climate Action Charity called Possible has done exactly that, and they found that the two are not only a match, but one capable of cutting energy bills by a third. With 3,700 of the most deprived neighborhoods in England located within 1 kilometer of onshore wind resource, there's big potential for alleviating fuel poverty while tackling emissions. And Zach, I think that that's something that we've been talking about all along, about the importance of pairing and coupling multiple smart climate policies in order to reduce emissions. I know that we said a carbon price, coupled with literally any other clean energy source would be almost as responsible for eliminating the vast majority of carbon emissions as like any standalone policy ever. So what are some of your thoughts on that?
This is really interesting, and I'd like to do some more research into this, because it's great to see synergy between two types of environmental policies or two technologies that can help the environment. And really, heat pumps, it's like the expensive part is like the digging part. So if you can get down and you're already digging down and building a foundation for something, might as well just extract the heat. Anyways, I think heat pumps are great. And if you can pair them with already pre-built holes that you're going to be doing, it reduces the cost tremendously. So
yeah, it sounds like this has a lot of coastal potential here in the United States and some of those areas that are most climate vulnerable in order to make this work. So super interesting study. I'm really eager to see where this ends up going, and this might be worth addressing in a future episode, driving home the importance of multiple innovative avenues being used at once. And then finally, my favorite piece of news. That isn't exactly news, and I guess that's news in and of itself. We are still waiting for Charlotte the Stingray to have her puppies. But they did an ultrasound of her the other day, and she seems to be doing well. And our producer left a very humorous note in our script notes and said, "Good Lord, when will those pups pop?" And that got me reading even further to find out how long is Charlotte supposed to be pregnant for. And we don't know. Because stingray gestation is apparently 3 to 4 months long, but there is literally, and this is, I checked multiple articles to confirm this, so don't get mad at me if it's not true, but there is no existing data on stingrays who reproduce asexually. So Charlotte is like making huge contributions to marine science and data, and scientists are like apparently phoning in and asking about it all the time because she's like one of the first known examples of this happening in a controlled environment for people to actually be able to like observe and chart as it progresses. So thank you, Charlotte, for being a shimmering light in my life and for your contributions to your groundbreaking science and for being one of the single threads that is holding my serotonin together. Thank you, Charlotte.
That's hilarious. Can't wait till those pups come out.
I cannot wait. I feel like we need to get an unofficial Green Tea Party Radio bidding table going. Like the real March Madness bracket. How many pups do you think Charlotte's going to have? I'm just going to say wild card. I'm going to say 7. Why not? I'm shooting for the moon. How many you say, Zach? 3? Ooh, 3. Yeah, I was about to say, how many? You know what? I'm not even going to Google it. I don't want to know. I'm balling. Charlotte is a miracle maker. She might just be able to get this to work. I wonder if there are like actually people betting on this right now. This is kind of like, do you remember in, I think it was 2016, everybody was freaking out about the giraffe that was like in that zoo or that reserve, like that was pregnant, was like a month overdue or something crazy. And they had like a camera on it on 24/7, like a live stream. And every day people were like, I feel like there's an animal like every 4 to 8 years where people are like, when will it do its the thing that it does all the time? That animals do when I must see it. So thank you, Charlotte, for being animal of the week. And you're number one in our hearts. We cannot wait to see how many pups you have. So be sure to email us with your thoughts. Our email is info@greenteapartyradio.com. And again, thank you for listening to Green Tea Party Radio, and a very special thank you to all of our patrons. We couldn't do this without you. If you're interested in getting early access to episodes as well as Green Tea Party Radio merch, check us out at greenteapartyradio.com. If you have feedback, tell us what's on your mind and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Just so you know, this is our passion project. We don't have any organizational sponsor, and just a reminder that Green Tea Party Radio is not representative of the Diocese of Little Rock, Catholic Climate Covenant, or any of our employers. We're just building a movement because we want the world to know that conservatives, and particularly young ones, have really important things to say about the climate. If you want to hear our show on your college radio station, email us at info@greenteapartyradio.com and give us the details about your campus and your radio station. That email again is info@greenteapartyradio.com. Stay well, take care, I hope you're having a sunny day wherever you are, and we'll see you next week. Toby's wailing in the back.
Hi, I'm Drew Ierley. I am the Conservative Outreach Director for Citizens Climate Lobby. My path to being a conservative, concerned about climate action, was definitely a long one. Growing up, it was a very rural area. You had to be into the outdoors or you were going to be bored out of your mind. So I grew up doing a lot of hunting, fishing. I was the second person on my mom's side to graduate high school. I graduated June 6th, 05 at like 7:30 at night, and by 8 o'clock the next morning, I was on my way to basic training on my 17th birthday. I had deployments to Iraq, Afghanistan, rotations through Cuba. It was during this time that I really became concerned with energy infrastructure, but I wasn't ready to take action yet. It took the birth of a 10-pound baby girl with cheeks so big she couldn't open her eyes to really get me to open mine. My life just went from the next 50 years to the next 75. What if she's the veteran that follows in my footsteps and she's in the VA suffering from exposure You know, what if she's on a fossil fuel route and, you know, subject to an IED? How will I be able to look at her in the eye and say, I knew that this could be an issue that you would have to face and I chose to do nothing about it? It's why we fight wars. You know, we fight them now so our kids don't have to. I am fighting climate change now so my daughters don't have to. A lot of people, you know, they say conservatives don't care about climate change, and you know, it's not true at all. We just want sensible policies that don't destroy the economy in trying to find a solution. We have that here at Citizens Climate Lobby. There are a lot of leadership opportunities for conservatives, especially in red states and districts with Republican congressional offices. Conservatives can also join CCL's Conservative Caucus. It's a national group of Republicans and other right-of-center individuals where conservatives can get together and regularly meet online and have strictly conservative-based conversations. Sharing our personal story is how we make a difference.
Conservative and concerned about climate change? You're not alone. My name is Chelsea Henderson, and I host RepublicEN.org's EcoRight Speaks, bringing you weekly guest interviews and stories. John Kasich, Christine Todd Whitman, Congresswoman Nancy Mace, meteorologist Marshall Shepard. Each week, we have a conversation with an EcoRight leader bringing you information, opinions, personal stories, and much, much more. Download, listen, subscribe, and join us each week on the EcoRight Speaks.
Are you a young conservative who's passionate about the environment? Introducing Green Tea Party Radio, the show that blends conservative solutions with environmental advocacy.
Hey there, I'm Hannah.
And I'm Zach.
I'm Katie. Join us every week as we discuss how conservatives can champion energy independence, tackle climate change, and create clean energy sector jobs, all while staying true to our values.
Get ready to pour the tea and join the Green Tea Party. Tune in and engage with thought-provoking discussions that matter to you. Subscribe today and visit greenteapartyradio.com for more information.
Hi, I'm Chelsea Henderson, host of the EcoRight Speaks podcast. In a world where conservative voices rarely meet environmental discussions, Green Tea Party Radio is a breath of fresh air. With your hosts, Hannah, Zach, and Katie, get ready for insightful dialogues that break the mold.
As conservatives, we're passionate about the environment, the free market, and our faith.
But finding our place in this conversation isn't always easy, and that's why we're here.
Join us every week as we explore how conservative values intersect with tackling climate change, promoting energy independence, and creating new clean energy sector jobs.
Green Tea Party Radio is more than a show. It's a movement that connects young American conservatives aged 16 to 25.
We're not just discussing problems, we're providing solutions.
So if you're tired of the same old narratives, it's time to embrace something different.
Pour the tea, ignite the conversation, and join us on a journey of discovery and action.
Don't miss Green Tea Party Radio, coming soon to a college radio station near you, or subscribe to the Green Tea Party Radio podcast. Check out the Green Tea Party Radio Patreon group for early access, special content, merch, and more. Visit greenteapartyradio.com. Together, let's reshape the future.
Woohoo!
Hi, I'm Peter Santoscano, host of Citizens Climate Radio. We highlight people's stories, we celebrate your successes, and together we share strategies for talking about climate change. We do all this by hearing from some pretty surprising climate advocates, like indie race car driver Aaron Tillitz, choreographer Lynn Newman, and comedian Esteban Gast. We feature politicians, preachers, and poets. And we explore unexpected questions like, what does the Bible say about climate change? How are our pets affected by extreme weather? And what about the children? By focusing our message so much about their future, are we overlooking the real risks our families and communities face today? Citizens Climate Radio is designed to inform you about the many ways people are addressing the causes and impacts of climate change. Subscribe and listen to Citizens Climate Radio wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Ben Joshua Davis, co-host of the Climate Change Podcast. I am incredibly excited about season two of our show. In this season, we ask big questions about collective honesty and complicated hope, which feels really timely in a moment dominated by news of floods, wildfire smoke, and record-breaking heat. I talk with Dr. Suzanne Moser about what it means to lead well in an era defined by accelerating, traumatic, and transformational change.
When people are really, really threatened in their identity, they are pushed to change. And who of us wants to? Thank you very much. It was just fine before, or, you know, it's too hard and I don't know how. So helping people frame that process and frame the dark night of the soul. I mean, that's your territory, right?
Indigenous writer and teacher Ray Buckley shares what it means to practice forgiveness and joy in the face of almost unthinkable communal and personal tragedy.
And there was at that moment an understanding didn't come through reading a book or anything of that nature, that in this case, one who had caused a significant tragedy for me and my family, that there was a way past this for both of us.
And you will hear the amazing conversation I had with iconic author and organizational thinker Margaret Wheatley. She shares about what it means to do hope-filled, meaningful work, even in the face of genuinely insurmountable challenges.
It shifts from what do I think I need to feel fulfilled and purpose-filled life to what does the world need from me? And it's not the big world. It's the world of your community, your congregation, your school, your family, your team. And I call those islands of sanity now because we're doing our very best to create sanity, to create the conditions for people to be free of fear and express, therefore, our best human qualities of generosity, kindness, creativity, and community.
Do you want to be challenged and inspired? Join us for this amazing series of conversations. You can listen to Climate Change wherever you get your podcasts or visit the btscenter.org.